listening to Connecting Faith, and one of our regular features over the last few weeks has been opportunity to learn more about God's Word, and that's coming up right now. Well, welcome to Get in the Word Wednesday. You know, for the last several Wednesdays, we've had the opportunity to dig in a little deeper into God's Word. You know, our passion and conviction here at Faith Radio is that the Scriptures are living and active and able to bring about life transformation for those who choose to read it, study it, and reflect on it, and obey it. And so we're happy to have this opportunity to connect with gifted teachers and leaders to help us understand it better. And so we've invited Eric Larson back again. Eric is not only a writer and a teacher and a speaker, but he has a publishing ministry called Frameworks Resources, and he has written a great resource called Frameworks. It's How to Navigate the New Testament, an extraordinary guide for ordinary people. You can find out more about it at frameworksthebook.com. And Eric, we've been kind of taking representative sections of the New Testament during our sessions in the past, and today we want to focus on Hebrews. And so maybe before we get deep into Hebrews, tell us a little bit about where Hebrews fits sort of in the overall framework layout of the New Testament. By the way, welcome. It's good to have you back.
Thanks, Neil. Good to be here. Yeah, if you look at the 27 writings in the New Testament, the books and letters, they group into six different groups. First is the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's one group. And then you have a history book that forms a group of its own, the Book of Acts. That's a second group. And then you have two groups that are Paul's letters. First are the letters that he wrote to churches, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and so on. And after that, there are four letters that Paul wrote to people, two to Timothy, one to Titus, and one to Philemon. And that brings us up to this group today, which is the fifth of six groups, and that's called the general letters. And they were called that because we believe that these letters were meant for larger audiences. They would circulate these letters through a region, through many churches in a region. And so in this section of general letters, the book of Hebrews takes the first place, being the largest book in that section, and for that reason they would have put it first.
It's a unique, I guess, distinctive book, maybe unlike some of the others. Talk about in what ways is it distinct?
It's distinct, first of all, because the name Hebrews is not the name of a person that wrote the book or of a destination. If you look at all the rest of the writings, except for Acts and Revelation, they're all the name of the writer, for example, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or the name of the recipient, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, or the name of a city, which would be Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians, and so on. And only Hebrews, Revelation, and Acts have names that are not those kinds of names. And Hebrews, in this context, would have the significance of meaning Jewish Christians. And these could have been Jewish Christians living in a region around Palestine or maybe somewhere outside of Palestine. We don't really know for sure. But most scholars believe that they were believers, obviously, and that they were of Jewish extraction.
I know in the beginning of each section in the book, Frameworks, you like to kind of provide some metaphors to help us understand the that particular book of the New Testament. So talk about how the letter of Hebrews and a particular sporting event are related.
Yeah, when we were thinking about a good metaphor for Hebrews, we kind of realized that this is a letter written to encourage some Christians who are kind of on the fence to move forward in their faith. They were being pulled backwards into Judaism by their parents and their relatives and by people of that religion, but they were being pulled forward by Christ and the church and all the new life that they were experiencing. So they were really in the middle there, and as we were thinking about different metaphors, one that came to mind was the metaphor of a tug of war. And come to find out that the tug of war capital of the United States is Oregon, Wisconsin. And the president of the United States Tug of War Association is a woman named Shelby Richardson, and she lives in Oregon, Wisconsin, and her group of women, the Oregon Tuggers, were national champions in tug of war for almost two decades. Who knew? So we use that story of Shelby's love for tug of war as a way to create this metaphor of being pulled in a couple of directions.
So they're pulled in a couple of directions. There's a lot of comparisons in the letter of Hebrews. Help us dig in a little bit deeper there.
Yeah, the writer is logically trying to appeal to the Jewish Christians of lack of or faith in the Old Testament institutions, such as the religion of Judaism, the honoring of Moses and Joshua as leaders, the belief in angels, as things that he can compare with Christ. So it's all about Christ being better than the angels, Christ being better than Moses, Christ being having a higher priesthood than the Old Testament priest, a better covenant with better promises. So the word would be better. Everything is better with Christ than the Jewish religion, and the writer's hoping that through these logical arguments laid out for these people, that they could then realize that they need to go forward to Christ.
So, you know, hearing that, maybe we'd wonder, say, well, how does that really apply to us? I mean, we're not in following Judaism, so is this relevant and meaningful for us today?
Absolutely, because Hebrews shows us in detail the picture of what I would call the fifth gospel, the first four gospels being Jesus' ministry on earth, but now he is our high priest in the heavens. And he's ministering there on our behalf. He's a great intercessor, and we pray, and he intercedes for us to the throne of God. So this whole role that he has been playing for 2,000 years as the heavenly high priest is all laid out for us in detail in this, quote, fifth gospel, the letter to Hebrews. And as believers, it's just rich, the depth of understanding that we can get when we read all about it.
Help us maybe navigate Hebrews a little bit. I know there's you kind of refer to them as carrots and stick in some way, but give us a little framework of the letter itself.
When you're trying to encourage your teenager or a friend of yours to do something that you think they should be doing, you have two choices. One is what I would call carrots, and the other would be something called sticks. And the carrots are to get the person to move forward, and the sticks are to encourage them to move forward by, you know, giving them a good spank on the behind or something like that. So in Hebrews, you have both of these being used by the author as incentives and negative incentives to try to get these folks to come forward to Christ. And in frameworks, we listed 13 of these positive carrot incentives, and they all start with the word "let us." Let us hear, fear, let us be diligent, let us hold on, let us approach God's throne, let us go on to perfection, and so on and so forth. All of these let's go kind of phrases, and those are the positive things. And on the negative side, you have five warnings that I would call sticks. And here they are: do not ignore God's Son. Do not harden your hearts toward God. Do not remain as baby Christians. Do not fall back to your old religion. Do not fall away from the grace of God. So both of these types of incentives are used throughout. And when you see the list of these things, and then when you read them, it all makes sense to you.
Talking frameworks today about the book of Hebrews, one of the things that we didn't touch on is who wrote Hebrews. And I know that maybe, you know, shouldn't matter to us, but we always kind of like to know. Do we know of who the author of this book was?
No, we don't, unfortunately, and there's been a debate raging for, you know, almost 2,000 years about this, and for many, many centuries, it was believed that Paul wrote it, and the reason for that being the theology that's contained in the letter, plus the depth of understanding of the Old Testament. Someone like Paul, who would have been brought up and a scholar in that field, would have certainly known that, and so for a long time, conservative Christians believed that Paul wrote it, but in more recent years, some critical analysis of the words that the letter uses and the phraseology and so forth, and the depth of the language that's in there, in terms of the Greek language, suggest that maybe that was not Paul's style, so maybe it wasn't him that wrote it. So we really don't know who it was. Could have been under Paul's direction that someone else wrote it. We don't know. But as I like to say, when we get to heaven, go to the Paul table and just ask him, and he'll tell you whether he put it or not.
I like it. And one of the things that you always provide us with a little bit of application, and appreciate you said that, you know, Hebrews helps us remember that the Christian life is sort of like riding a bike. Just say a word about that.
Yeah, I got that quote from a great Bible teacher by the name of Henrietta Mears. And she wrote an overview of the New Testament as well. And she said this: the Christian life is riding a bicycle. If you do not go on, you go off. So it's that whole idea of going forward or you're going to fall off.
Well, we want to continue to go forward in our faith. And one of the ways that we can do that is to read and interact with God's Word, and helping us to do that today. And on our Wednesday get-together is Eric Larson. We're talking about Get Into the Word Wednesday. Been talking about Hebrews today, as Eric has spelled it out for us in his book, Frameworks. And you can find out more at frameworksthebook.com. Eric is a writer, a teacher, a speaker, and for the past 3 decades been helping people crack open and navigate their Bibles. He has a publishing company called Frameworks Resources as well. And Eric, so appreciate you helping us today and encouraging us to get into the Word. And we look forward to our next visit.
Thanks, Neil.
All right. Hope you appreciated that opportunity to learn a little bit more about God's Word. That's something we're passionate about here at Faith Radio. All right, to learn, to grow, but to strengthen our faith and to connect faith to life. But coming up tomorrow on Connecting Faith, Dr. J. Scott Reese will return to take your health-related questions. He's also written Your Best Doctor Visit Ever, and we'll offer some simple steps to make our next doctor visit productive and effective. We're going to talk, among other things, about weight loss and diets and maybe allergies and colds, all those things. So join us tomorrow. We'll open up the phone lines for the full hour and talk to Dr. J. Scott Reese here on Connecting Faith. Don't forget our spring Choose Joy devotional giveaway, giving one away a day. It's Kay Warren's great devotional, Choose Joy, and we're giving one away each day. You can sign up for yours at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. And you can also check out the Connecting Faith show page when you're there, myfaithradio.com. And don't forget, our spring fundraiser begins next Tuesday.